Welcome back, Joan.
How time flies. It seems like, 24 hours ago you and I were in studio for a show, but another week, another whole series of events, meetings, Angelus, weekly audience, and so forth. And I'm guessing maybe the highlight of the week for many, I certainly know it was for the press, was the visit to the Pope after visiting Italian officials of Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. And it's very interesting, if memory serves me, the last Russian to have been here, you know, head of state, was Putin, Vladimir Putin, and he met the Pope in 2007. One of the things they talked about, and I'm sure Medvedev and the Pope will, is the how to improve ties between the Roman Catholic and the Russian Orthodox Church. I mean, there's many, many international issues that I'm sure the two of them will also talk about.
Can you tell us, Joan, when a head of state meets with the Pope, it's behind closed doors, it's a private meeting. Do we get a press release after such events? Is there any way that we know what the two men said to each other?
Well, there is a press release always put out by the Holy See Press Office. And it generally, a lot of us who cover these events feel that, oh, we could write that too, because it is very generic. If it is expected that the Pope and the president of XYZ country will be talking about human rights issues or euthanasia or abortion, right, or something, generally that will be included. To exclude it would leave a lot more questions, you know. So there will be sometimes a generic statement and then maybe one or two, you know, points of interest. And when the two meet, they meet in the Pope's library, and then when need be, there are translators. And that's, I mean, the Pope, as was John Paul, very multilingual and everything
else.
Does
he speak Russian?
I was just going to say, I don't know about the Russian. I've heard him give in a couple of audiences, you know, those few words. But I'm guessing fully that unless Medvedev speaks perfect English, I'm guessing there will be one or two translators.
Which is plausible, I would say.
Yeah. And right, you're going to have someone from Secretary of State. So then they meet. And it's very interesting because I've been in these pools several times. The journalists are escorted up. There's two pool print reporters from the press office. And then there will be the photographer and television from that person's country, and obviously Vatican television. And so it's a very small group, actually, five, six, seven people. And you go up and you're standing in a certain hallway and you watch the Pope, and you're only feet from him. You watch the Pope come out of his library, and then he greets the head of state, and you're there to try and listen. What did they say? What language did they speak in, and so forth? Then they go into the study, and you are allowed to go in as they sit down and just exchange their first 10 words. Then there's a wonderful small room, and I'd love to know the name of it, a wonderful small room with very old mosaics and also frescoes on the wall. It's very, very, very small. It couldn't take more than about eight journalists. And then you wait in that room, and the Holy Father's secretary will come out, and Archbishop Harvey, prefect of the papal household. They come into that little room, go past you, and go to their respective offices. And then one of the uscieri, like these gentlemen that are always around the Pope's offices and rooms, they come and they give, there's a little tray, and they give everyone a rosary. They give everyone a rosary.
I thought you were going to say a coffee.
we all get a rosary. Well, I guess if I had my druthers, I certainly would want the rosary. And then you are at the end. There must be a bell ringing someplace. The Pope must press something under his desk or something to indicate that the talk is over. And then when the Pope's secretary comes through our room where we're waiting, then we know we can go back in. And then you witness the person introducing their spouse and maybe members of the government, whatever. And then they walk to another table because they're standing by the Pope's chair and so forth. They then walk to another table where there's an exchange of gifts. We are very close to that table, so that's where you can hear and see them more. And it is a delightful experience. And then, of course, whoever was present— has to tell who's ever going to give the news, like, you know, it would be Father Lombardi, I would certainly be guessing, exactly what was said in the meeting, and hears how to describe it. So that's pretty much how a head of state or head of government visit goes.
And, thank you for that insight.
Oh, I actually forgot one of the most important things. With Pope Benedict, there's a procedure set up now where those of us in the journalists, the photographers, whatever, five, six, seven people, after the guest of honor has left the library and his whole entourage and so forth, the Pope greets every one of us. Just, oh, it is wonderful. I mean, it's like 20, 30 seconds. He stands right there, and then you get to go up to him one-on-one, and whatever language you're going to be talking in, most it'll be the language of the guest. So a Russian photographer, unless he knows another language, would, I don't know what he'd say. And you know, it would have to be Russian. But it's a very lovely personal encounter. And it's my understanding that Monsignor Georg Ganschwein, the Pope's secretary, was very much behind this idea.
Personalizing
his way. Yes, exactly. And it's a joy for us. And if I can just take one personal second, I remember going up to the Holy Father after I had, in such a pool, and I had just been in Iraq. And that particular day, he had another meeting, and I knew we could not, you know, be long in talking to him. And I had two things that I did want to say, both briefly, but I chose Iraq. And I told him I'd been to Iraq. I wish you could have seen his face. He just, like, surprise and delight at the same time. And I said, the Iraqi people said, if I ever meet the Holy Father, would I please tell him they pray for him and how much they love him, the Iraqi Catholics. So those are very wonderful, wonderful personal moments. Yes. So that'll be a big visit. And, of course, I did forget to say about Medvedev is coming to Italy in a year, 2011, which has been designated a year of cultural exchanges between Russia and Italy.
Italy. Right. That's right.
Anyway, well, actually, there was other news this week
we
might want to to get to. But there's never any harm in kind of changing one's format, I think, from time to time. But now, the Angelus on Sunday was very moving in many, many ways. The Pope did talk, as he always does at the Angelus, about the Gospel of the day, which, of course, was the Sermon on the Mount. And the Pope talks about how Jesus took the Sermon on the Mount. He did not change the law. He simply reproposed the old law, new commandments, but commandments based on love. And at the end of the, or I might have been after praying the Angelus, having underlined Jesus' new commandment of love, the Pope spoke of the death of four ethnic Roma children, and probably most generally are known as gypsies. They burned to death February 6th, so the preceding week, in a fire in a shack in which they were living on the outskirts of Rome. They do not have good living conditions, I'm sure. A lot of people are aware of that. But the Pope said, you know, he said, such an event makes us ask ourselves if a more supportive and fraternal society, more coherent in love, which he'd been talking about, that is more Christian, might not have been able to avoid this tragic fact. And, of course, the community of Sant'Egidio in Rome is very much behind this. There was a very big group of Sant'Egidio people at the Angelus.
They actually
Sunday.
Called for a day of mourning last Wednesday, which was immediately after the
And I think the Pope had spoken of it at that audience, too. So that was it was wonderful that the Pope did, you know. And I think the government, by the way, is doing something, too.
Well, I know Sant'Egidio has actually called on the government and on the European Union to set forth a long-term plan to set up a model to be able to accommodate, because there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of Roma people in Rome and in Italy.
There are. And their living conditions totally deplorable.
Are such that the children can't go to school.
No, it's a sad life, sad conditions in which they live. But anyway, no, I know we only have a little bit of time left. Two things. One were the Pope's trips. The Vatican put out the schedule for his May 7th and 8th trip to the Italian cities of Aquileia and Venice, which I think will also have involved a ride in a gondola through the fabled canals of Venice. And then the Pope goes for the rest of the year. It's Croatia in June, San Marino on June 19th, Spain for World Youth Day in August, his native Germany, of course, in late September, and then Africa, Benin, Africa, November 18th to 20th. But, you know, one story I'd like to really briefly highlight. It's so incredible. Cardinal Stephen Kim of Korea died 2 years ago, and he had set up in 1988 a organ donation group called One Body, One Spirit, with the idea of sharing life by donating organ with others. And he himself donated his eyes and donated his organs after his death. And organ donation has gone up. This was a report by the Yonhap News Agency reporting on statistics that had come out from KONOS, the Korean Network for Organ Sharing, that in the 2 years since his death, organ donations have gone up. He was very popular not just among Catholics, but among non-Catholics, and that would be the majority, obviously, in Korea. But I thought, what a wonderful story from that part of the world. We don't hear too much about it. Sometimes we don't always hear good stuff.
Right.
And I thought that was a very inspiring story about the late Cardinal Stephen Kim.
Thank you very, very much, Joan, and for your super insight into what goes on during the meeting with the head of state and the Pope.
The joy of working here.
Thank you.